listening to the Local Bar Podcast with your host, Chad Alexander. Come on in. We have a lot of friends we want you to meet.
Hello, internet world. Of all the places you could be, you have decided to spend a little bit of time with us, and for that, we could not be more grateful. This is the Local Bar. I am your host, Chad Alexander, and I am struggling a bit still with this this cold and this cough that I've been dealing with for the past couple of weeks, ever since I started this podcast. You know, I guess it kind of goes back to what I was saying in the very first podcast. You can always make excuses. Good thing I didn't wait for this cold to be over, or we'd be three less podcasts short right now. Mm. But thank goodness I'm taking my medicine. It's a glass of Macallan. Hopefully it'll keep this cough from keeping me and everybody else up in my house. That was just terrible. I was up all night last night. Probably woke up about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, just coughing my head off. Could not fall back asleep and ended up watching, I think, Everybody Loves Raymond all night long. Anyway, thank you for being here today. I could not appreciate it more. If you want to be part of the podcast, you can join us, localbarmail@gmail.com. Again, that's localbarmail@gmail.com. And we are setting up a Patreon page, patreon.com/localbar. Once that is fully set up, hopefully you'll be able to get t-shirts and beer mugs and all that kind of stuff. We are getting someone to fix our logo up right now, so hopefully we'll have that sometime soon. Listen, I don't want to spend a lot of time on the front end of this podcast. I want to do most of it on the back end because the person I talked to this week was just a gem to talk to. It was a great conversation that after we were done, I just kind of sat in silence for a few moments, and it was just something that was really good for me and good for my heart to be able to sit down and talk about what we talked about. I want to tell you just kind of where I am this week is, you know, Thanksgiving is always kind of a neat time for me. I get just so creased every year because I hear Christmas music at Halloween. I know there are those of you out there that are listening to Christmas music year round. But I can't stand it. I can't stand to see Christmas trees up before Thanksgiving. I can't stand to see like the snowflake designs on the street, the light fixtures that the city puts up during this time of year before Thanksgiving. And I just feel like we just rush right over Thanksgiving. And it's for two reasons. Number one, Thanksgiving is the easiest dang holiday you've ever had. Think about it. The some of the great parts of Christmas where you get together, eat, and just hang out. You do that on Thanksgiving, but you don't have to worry about presents, and the traffic's not necessarily as bad as it is at Christmas. I don't understand why we just roll. I mean, here's the thing I know that's going to happen on Thanksgiving. I know I'm going to eat somewhere, something, and it'll be too much. And I know I'm going to be able to watch football. And then I know I'm going to be able to hang out with folks. I don't know why we just pass right over things. I know part of it is that you can't market it. You don't have Thanksgiving presents. Nobody's sitting around like giving each other like turkey basters or any crap like that. But still, excuse me, a little bit more medicine. Still, it's one of those things that I think that we shouldn't just zip right over. Second, I don't think as people we should zip over a week that reminds us that we need to sit and be thankful. I see it on social media all the time. People sitting around talking about what they're thankful for. Great. They probably do it a lot each year. Great. But this is the week that I sit down and I start just thinking about the things that I really am thankful for. My guest this week and I have a very strange common bond. And so I'm going to get to that interview here really quick. But I do want to say one other thing, that on Sunday, as I sat down and started thinking about the things that I was thankful for, it reminded me about the part of the season that we're moving into and how important this season is. And for me, and again, I'm not trying to sway any of you out there, but for me, what I found myself somewhere on Sunday, and I found myself in a situation where I was sitting there and just kind of taking in everything that I was seeing on Sunday. And I knew that this week was coming up for Thanksgiving, and I knew it'd be a short week, and I knew it'd be crazy. And it was just like this thing said to me, Chad, this is the time of year that you need to make sure you understand why you're thankful. You need to look at the troubles you've had over the past 2 months and realize that that there is someone that is here. That star has risen in the East. If you call Miami the East, you know that your savior is back. Tony Romo is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys again, and we're finally freaking winning games again. All right, so that's probably a little bit over the top. Just give me a break. Look, it's been 7 weeks in a row. We've been losing games. Just give me a break, okay? And I know a lot of you out there hate the Cowboys, but come on. But no, in all seriousness, this time of year is one where I sit down and I start thinking about the things that I'm thankful for. And I want to get to that a little bit on the other side of the interview. But without any introduction, because I love the fact that this person and I'll just go ahead and tell you this, don't know each other. And this is an interview of someone who I have never personally met, but because of a common bond that we have, I thought it was a very appropriate one to have for this week. So without further ado, here is the interview for the week, and I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Now I know Spanish Harlem are not just pretty words to say. Now I know that rose trees never grow in New York City. Until you've seen this trash can dream come true, you stand at the edge while people run you through. And I thank the Lord there's people out there like you. I thank the Lord there's people out there like you.
All right, with me this week is someone that, this is a different one because this is actually someone that I don't know at all. This is not an old friend that I'm reaching back to. This is someone that I've never met. So if this is the local bar, I've just sat down and decided to try to chat this young, lovely lady up. Her name is Liz Barnes, and she is from Columbia, South Carolina. Liz, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
You know, I said you're from Columbia, but I don't know. Are you from Columbia?
I actually grew up in Batesburg, Leesville, but I've lived a lot of my life in Columbia.
So. Okay. Big city. Everybody always asks you about barbecue, of course. And
Of course.
Now, wait, so let me ask you real quick. So are you like one of those that thinks that Shealy's is the best?
Shealy's is good, but I enjoy Heights as well. So
okay, I don't know that one. Where is that?
Yeah, it's really good. Should try it out if you're over there.
Where is that? Is that in Batesburg?
Heights Barbecue is in Leesville.
But
they're both great.
I don't know. Yeah, somehow I've missed that one when I've driven through the big city. So your family's still there? You still got family there?
They are. My whole family is still there.
So Thanksgiving for you, is it spent in that big area?
It is. Most of it is. Yeah. This year, we go to my grandmother's house with a very large extended family, and she makes everyone's favorite dish. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Since you bring that up, I have to ask, what's your favorite Thanksgiving dish that your grandmother's going to make?
Oh, she makes noodles with her turkey broth. And I think she actually sticks her finger in it and stirs it around because everybody else has tried it. We can't get it to taste the same. So that's my favorite.
You know, my grandmother that lived in Bishopville, which is over there, like you're going towards Florence. Mm-hmm. We used to always go there for Thanksgiving. It was my dad's mom. And she and my grandfather could both cook, but my grandmother made the best dressing for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
And we all would try to get the recipe from her. And what we found out after she passed away is that she would give out recipes, but she would always change it a little bit. And so the reason why none of us can get it right is because we don't think she ever gave out the recipe. But since I was her favorite, I think she actually gave me the right recipe because I think I make it right. But I don't.
That happened.
I don't know. All right. So, Liz, you have kind of an interesting background. You have a neat job. You've been two things that you and I talked about real quick before we started the show. You have been a photographer. Do you still do photography?
I do. I do it part-time. Okay. I don't take on as many weddings now as I used to, but yeah, I do it part-time.
Okay. So. And is it just weddings that you do, or you do other things?
No, I do family portraiture, probably most now, and children. Not newborns, but children photography.
Yeah, everybody's Christmas cards and stuff like that.
Right, right. Gotcha. And I named it Zill because I do everything backwards, and that's my name backwards.
Gotcha. That's all right. I like that. That's pretty cool. And you also sell hormones out the back of your car or something like that. What exactly do you mean?
I work for Monday through Thursday. I work for Carolina Hormone and Health, and we do bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. And I'm more of a patient educator more than a salesman. I just educate patients on our therapy. I answer questions, do a little medical screening, that type of thing.
Gotcha. So what kind of patient would come in there? Like what's their prognosis?
Anybody that has a hormone imbalance. Usually it's menopausal women or older men who have low testosterone levels. But we have patients that range from 20s into their 90s. So okay. It can be pretty much anyone. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Well, it may seem for those that are listening and listen to the monologue that I had before, they're probably wondering why in the hell you and I are talking. And I'll go ahead and we'll skip to the meat of this conversation because it is actually something that I have been waiting to talk about that I really haven't had the opportunity to. And I'm glad that you and I have finally met here. Liz and I have a mutual friend. It was her best friend and someone that I met years ago that I actually worked with in hospice that recently just passed away. And she is a young lady that we both thought so much of. And her name is Kim Pollard. She and I worked together at the MSA at Tri-County Hospice. But actually what's funny, and you and I haven't discussed this yet, she and I actually go back to my first year of college when I graduated from Clinton High School. This girl that I was dating went to Newberry College, and I came up one of the rare weekends that I could get out of Charleston and actually come back towards Clinton. And I actually met Kim, and I remember meeting her, and I probably was only around her, I would say, for maybe 10 minutes, but I can vividly remember the conversation, and I remember laughing. I don't know what we talked about, but I remember the two of us laughing our tails off and having a good time, and I think we may have run back into each other at a party later on that night with that girl that I was dating, right. And then not long after that, that girl just was turned into a horrible girlfriend. I hope she's not listening. Well, if she is, she deserves it. And got rid of that and then went on and went to college, and it wasn't, but, I mean... Gosh, probably 5-10 years later, how old am I now? I run into Kim again just probably about 4 years ago or so, 4 or 5 years ago when we were working in hospice. And when we were sitting down at the table going through, she was kind of doing some mentoring for me. She looks at me, she's like, I know you from somewhere. Like, I know you from somewhere too. And then it just kind of clicked where we were. And it was just like we were old friends again, but we really didn't know each other that well. She was just one of those kinds of personalities that I think a lot of people gravitate to. And instantly want to have a friendship with her. Now, how did the two of y'all meet?
We actually met. We have a happy hour group at Pearls. And I had moved back to Columbia and was single again. And a mutual friend, Carlin Carey, introduced us. She had started going to the happy hour on Thursdays. And we're called Table 20. And that's how I met her. We would meet there every Thursday, and then our friendship just grew from there. But it was a little over 2 years ago.
Okay. All right. Wow. Yeah. Well, I've talked to Kim a little bit, and it's been for the past few years. I think we've met for lunch once, and it was always, hey, let's go do this, let's do that. But we've kept up just from texting, and she would often refer to you, like if she said something, that was me and my best friend in that picture on my Facebook page. Like if we were just talking about what we did for that weekend. How did y'all? It's funny to me that. Y'all knew each other for just 2 years because the way I heard Kim talk about you.
It's close to probably three now that I think about it. Time flies, and definitely when you don't have her in your life as long as you do most people, it seems like 2 days, to be quite honest.
Sure.
Well, but
it just seemed like the way she talked, y'all knew each other forever. Y'all must have just had one of those friendships.
Yeah, well, it kind of felt that way, to be honest. As soon as we met, it felt that way. It felt like she grew up in Newberry. I grew up in Batesburg. We grew up in small town. Actually, she grew up in Silver Street, which is even smaller than Batesburg, Louisville. Yeah. And so we had a lot in common. We grew up the same way, and we just hit it off. I've always said I'll never have. I mean, she was a unique person. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I'll ever meet anybody like that again.
What's your, when you think about Kim, and you don't have to give away any dirty details that would incriminate either one of you, but when you think,
I wouldn't do that.
When you think about Kim, what are some of the best times or the things that really, I know it's, and for, I do need to say thank you very much for coming on the show and talking about this, because she just passed away very recently. But in this short period of time, what are the things that pop in your head that you really just sit back and smile when you think about her?
There's a lot. She was very giving, and that was very evident when she passed away. Actually, when she was diagnosed with cancer and she was in the hospital, I mean, everyone was reaching out wanting to help. And it was because she had helped so many people. Even being really close to her and being a friend, you didn't realize how many people she had touched. So that's one thing. The other thing personally that she did for me was I was going through a really hard time when I met her. I was going through a divorce and very unsure of myself. And she was so good about boosting your confidence. And I found out later that I wasn't the only one she did that for. She did that for a number of people. And she kind of taught me to love me again and to accept me for me and my mistakes, and just to be thankful for everything else I had around me and to kind of put the negativity to the side and not focus on that.
You know, that's a neat thing, because that's one of the things that I think about Kim is that, you know, nobody's perfect, but Kim was always so confident in who she was that she made you feel okay with yourself. And it's the weirdest thing. And I haven't really felt that with anybody else, but she was always able to do that. Like I never felt The only time I ever felt bad is when I didn't call her back. And it seemed like any other time, whenever we're sitting down and whatever we were talking about, like there was never a reason to be ashamed. There was never a reason to be upset. There was this weird confidence that she had in that, look, people are people. You're still great. I'm still here as your friend.
Why very would accepting.
Different? Yeah. Yeah.
Very accepting person. Very accepting and very real. Like she wore her feelings on her shoulders, which that takes, I think, an extremely courageous person to do that. Yeah. And you knew when she was not happy, you knew when she was happy. You saw it up front. And I'm more thankful for that now. And I see that quality in other friends now because of her.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What do you see yourself? And it doesn't have to be just recently, but over these past 3 years, I think with the friends that we're the closest with and the people that really have that impact in our life, we can see a change in ourselves and we can see it for the better. What things do you see yourself doing differently that you can look and say, hey, that's Kim. I can tell that's Kim.
As far as like what I see myself doing differently, I've noticed I'm a little more patient with people. I'm less judgmental. And she taught me that even when she was still here. Like, she did not judge she may look at a girl's pants and be like, I don't really like her pants. When it came to fashion, maybe she did judge a little bit, but like personality and lifestyle. And, it was always the type of thing that she's like, you don't know their whole story. Huh. And, like when it got down to the nitty gritty part about a human being, you know, she was very non-judgmental. And, I think I've tried to be more like that. I've tried to be more patient and understanding with people, and not jump to conclusions as much. So, but that's definitely an impact she had on me and something I see myself changing on a daily basis, especially now that I don't get to talk to her every day.
Right. Right. I will say it's funny that you bring that up about women's fashion. Cause number one, I know all of y'all do that anyway. It doesn't matter who you are.
But, I just totally threw her on the bus. So we all do it. We do. I'm throwing every woman under the bus at this point. Cause we do.
Right. Right. Well, and I'll tell you this, let it be said, Kim was one hell of a dresser too. I always thought that she was one of the most fashionable people that I knew. And I always thought that she was really cool. Tell me a little bit about what type of cancer she had. And you talked about her getting diagnosed in the hospital. I remember she and I were trying to reconnect again. It was just one of those times that came out of nowhere.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I started following on her Facebook page and I didn't want to bother her too much because I knew she was going through something. So I didn't ask a lot of questions, but how did that go for her? What caused her to go to the hospital and how did that all unfold?
Well, she had not been feeling well for quite some time. I mean, literally, I can remember we spent the last 2 4th of Julys together, and I can remember not this 4th of July, but the 4th of July before, she wasn't feeling all that well. And she was having some hip problems and tailbone problems. And she had gone to the doctor at the end of last year and had a CT scan, and it didn't really show anything. And she'd also gone to an OBGYN beginning of the year, and nothing there. So gradually her health had declined. And one Sunday night, she was in a lot of pain, and that had built up over the summer. She hated to miss out on anything. So she was always a trooper and would show up at things still not feeling very well. But she wanted to be a part of all the functions and have a good time. And she always put on a happy face, unless she saw somebody in ugly pants, of course. her dad took her to the urgent care on a Sunday about a little over 3 months ago now, right at 3 months. And they sent her to the emergency room after doing some blood work. And we got a text, all the girls, she has a really, really close knit of girlfriends. We got a text from her early that morning, and I'm just asking for prayer. And I think she had put prayer on a post on Facebook asking for prayer as well. But she told us that they had done a CT scan and found some masses in her colon that looked like her liver as well. So we all, of course, went to the hospital that Monday. And we really didn't know much at that point, but we knew it wasn't great. But everybody still seemed to be extremely positive. When she sat down and told us what was going on and tried to explain things, she was like, "I don't want anybody crying. We're going to fight this. We're going to get through it." And she was very upbeat.
It seemed like when I would read the Facebook post that she would put up or the little bit that I was talking, you know, she did seem very positive. And it was funny. I could hear it in Kim's voice without even talking to her. Like, I could hear that it's like, you know, she was going to be positive, not just for her because she knew that she had to be, but she wanted to be for her friends and her family and her dad and everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she was just really that kind of person.
And I definitely, her biggest concern was friends and her dad, because she lost her mom right after college. So her dad was a high priority. And she focused on him a lot and wanted him to be okay. And she has a dog, Marley, as well. So that was a big deal as well. So
how is her dad doing?
He's doing okay. I mean, I think he has his good days and bad days, but I think he's very thankful for the two special women he had in his life and the time he had with them.
Yeah.
He's gotten a whole group of us now taking care of him. So we told him he adopted a large amount of women after, she passed away.
Well, that's good. Well, somebody's got to take care of him, and somebody, I guess, has to take care of y'all too. So that's not too bad of a thing. Let me ask you, this time of year, getting back to what I was talking about that you haven't heard yet, that you will whenever this post, this time of year, when you think about the things that you're thankful for, this being a holiday without your best friend, you know, when you're sitting back and you're so thankful for your relationship with her, what is it that you feel deep down is what stirs you when you talk about what you're thankful for in Kim Pollard?
Oh, there's a lot. I think about all the lessons she taught me, and some of the lessons she taught some of my other really good friends, mutual friends of hers and ours, that I see like shine through. And I've seen a lot of that when she was going through the cancer, the chemo treatments she had to. I saw a lot of that in my friends, a lot of how she affected them and how they were changing as well because she had impacted them. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the time I had with her. I'm thankful for, she used to have this stank face all the time. That's what one of my friends, Carlin, calls it, her poop face. And you just knew, that's what I was talking about. You knew when she wasn't happy or pleased with the situation. And I'm thankful for that lesson she taught me, because I think we try to be so correct and so polite sometimes and not step on feet, when in reality, if somebody knows how you feel up front, it causes a lot of pain not to happen later on.
Yeah.
If you're honest and upfront with people, as long as you're polite, but at the same time, I'm very thankful for that lesson. Extremely thankful. Yeah. And thankful for the love. I mean, she loved everybody, and she loved she loved each individual in a different way. Like, she found whatever about them that she could relate to. And that was her love for them.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, the thing that I remember about her when I went to work for hospice, and you mentioned it earlier that she was very real. And, mm-hmm. you know, I hadn't worked in hospice before. And I mean, I'm not an idiot. I know what it's about. But I think it goes back to that confidence that I remember in her. It was like a steadfast nature that she had is, yeah, these people are going to go somewhere. I know where they're going. I don't know how they're going to get there, but we're going to be here to take care of them. And there was some reassuring nature that I learned from her. And I took forward in what I did in senior healthcare and in hospice that I can really attribute to her. But I will tell you before we leave, I will tell you kind of a neat story that Kim's strength has already kind of done something really neat for me. And you're kind of involved in this too. The day that she had passed away, I was actually at the gym, and not 2 days before, I had texted her and said, "Hey, are we going to get together for lunch?" Because just her Facebook page was kind of blank. I was under the impression that she had gone home. I don't know why, and I can't remember why I thought that. I'm on the way to pick up my daughter from her school. She goes to school at a church. She's four. Mm-hmm. And I am standing outside, or not standing outside, but sitting in my car, and it's not quite time yet. And I look down at my phone, and I start flipping through Facebook, and I see the post that you put. And it was a very positive post, but it was a little bit confusing for me because I still wasn't quite sure what was going on with Kim. And it said something like, you know, Kim is with her mom and she's
won her battle.
Right, right. And so I'm like, oh, so Kim's home. And all of a sudden I start reading the comments underneath it. And I go through this really quick roller coaster.
She is home.
She is.
She's very much home.
but not where I thought. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Right, I know.
But what was amazing about it was that was exactly Kim. Kim would have been mad at me if I'd have been upset about it. And probably more than any friend that I've ever lost or any relative that I've ever lost. And it's not because I didn't know Kim. It's not because I wasn't close with her. It has nothing to do with that. Very quickly, I was okay with her passing. Before I even walked into that church to pick my daughter up, I was okay with it. And it was, yes, because she's not hurting, she's not in pain. But it reminded me a little bit of Stuart Scott, the longtime ESPN anchor that passed away. What was it, this year or last year? And how he stated that it's not, you know, nobody loses their battle with cancer. It's how you live your life with it. And oh my gosh, you know, watching the way that she was taking care of y'all, where y'all were taking care of her, watching her in the way that she was, it was just amazing. And it gave me this peace. And it was so important for me to read your post and to think about Kim. Not only for that, but I mean, I was going to get out the car. I got a call from a friend of mine who was like, "Listen, I know I've been kind of flighty lately. I need to let you know what's going on. My mother's just been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I'm really not quite sure what to do." And of course, my first reaction was, "Oh, you gotta be freaking kidding me! Like, I just found this out about Kit, and now I'm hearing this." But then all of a sudden, I was able to kind of talk with her, and just you know, use this kind of like that positive nature, that thing that I remember from Kim, and be able to hopefully help her out a little bit. And I really attribute that to Kim. It was funny, like maybe a week later, she's like, "Oh my God, did you hear about Kim Pollard?" And I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "When did you find out?" I was like, "2 minutes before you called me and told me about your mom." Yeah. But there is something about that. And I'm, you know, I am thankful for my relationship with Kim. I'm thankful for you and your friendship with her. Cause I'm going to tell you that's a neat thing. I enjoyed being able to meet you and talk to you on here. I love hearing you talk about Kim, but you know, the cool thing about it is it hasn't been that long. And I really love how you've got, you know, it just feels like you've got her arms wrapped around you, and you're, you know, I'm sure miss her, but there's a lot of something there that you're able to kind of, in that same steadfast way that Kim did, just positively look at it and say, "Yeah, I know. And we're all better for having known her. And this is how we're going to carry her message out." I guess that's my last question for you, Liz. If there's anything about Kim, when we lose friends way too early, we there's something about them that we want to carry on. What is it within yourself that you think you want to carry on the most about Kim?
Her giving spirit. She's very giving, very forgiving, and very giving. She helped a lot of people. So I would love to be able to give at least a third of what she did in my life. I mean, she gave a lot in the short amount of time she was here. Gotcha. And it would be nice to be able to do that in return.
Yeah, absolutely. And what an awesome thing to take forward. And something that is very Kim. Yeah, you're right. That is very, very much her. Well, thanks again for coming on. I'm very thankful that I knew Kim. I know that you are too.
And thanks for asking me.
Yeah, I'm glad that we got a chance to meet. Real quick before I let you go, though, I know that you got your regular business, but I know you do your side business too. What do you have a website where people could reach out to you if they're looking for a photographer for weddings or for Christmas cards, which is probably too late to get them?
Yeah, I do. It's Zill Photography, probably the best place to find me is on Facebook. I have a website as well, but just Zill Photography, Z-I-L.
Z-I-L Photography. You got it. Well, yeah. Liz, thank you so much again. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to catching up with you sometime soon.
Thanks, Chad.
All right. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
You belong among the wildflowers. You belong in a boat on the sea. Sail away. Kill off all the hours. You belong somewhere you feel free.
You know, first of all, I have to thank Liz for coming on here. You know, how brave is it for a young lady to have lost her best friend just a few weeks ago and to come on a podcast with a guy that she doesn't even know? That has the only thing they have in common is her friendship with her best friend, and for her to be able to speak so eloquently and so so lovely about her best friend. Thank you very much, Liz, for sharing with everyone. I hope for any of you that are dealing with something similar, or it doesn't have to necessarily be someone young. It doesn't necessarily have to be cancer. I hope that you, one of the things you pick up from listening to Liz talk about her best friend, what I certainly got out of it is it's the way that they live and what they do with the time that they have really shows the depth of the person that they are. And I am very thankful for knowing Kim Pollard. I wish the two of us would have cleared out our schedules a little bit more and met for lunch a few more times. I wish I could have seen that stank face a few more times like Liz is talking about. I wish I could have seen the way that she helped people maybe once or twice. My best friend has started his own business, and I actually told him when he needed someone that was going to come and work with him. As far as marketing goes, she was the first name that I brought up, and I hadn't talked to her in forever. It's sad to see what happened, obviously. That's just the way it is. But this time of year, I can sit back and say that I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for knowing Kim. And it brings me to what I want to tell you real quick before we all get out of here. My dad did something years ago. And when it comes down to this type of year, I think about this one little exercise that my dad started that has become a family thing. Anybody that knows the Alexander family knows this. Anyone who's ever been a part of us for even a short period of time knows this one little gadget thing that we have that is probably more meaningful than what most folks actually know. As a matter of fact, there are probably some people that are listening to this podcast right now that know my dad that do not know this story and the origin of it. But when it comes down to this time of year, this is one of the things that I think about a lot. I see people put on Facebook and long drawn out messages. I'm not making fun of you. Hey, listen, I really appreciate you putting down everything that you're thankful for. And the exercise of, I think it's every day of the month or maybe every day leading up to Thanksgiving where you write down what you're thankful for. And that's really cool. I love that. But one of the things that I find is, if I don't spend this week sitting down and journaling and thinking about the things that I'm really thankful for, I get lost in them. And sometimes I just want to look up to the sky and just say, hey, listen, I don't know where to begin and I don't know where to end. I just want to tell you that I'm so thankful for what I have. And I have this one little thing that the Alexander family does that actually does that for me. And if there's anything that I can pass along to you this Thanksgiving, especially when I think about the conversation that I just had with Liz, with Kim, this just fits. You know, the great thing about Kim, if you knew her, is she was incredibly funny. There were a lot of layers to her. I don't mean by what I'm about to say as though she was shallow, but Kim was so genuine that it really didn't take a lot to be able to get to be her friend. It didn't take a lot to get where she was going with something. She probably wasn't as wordy as me because I mean, you've listened to this podcast. I talk all over the place. I love that fact, that simplicity, that confidence, that air that Kim always had. I just admire it so much. It's neat to see someone that was so close to her like Liz have that. And it's obvious Liz has got her own thing too, which is fantastic. But that she's able to spot that and carry it on. And I think that's beautiful and wonderful and a great legacy for Kim. And it sounds like Liz is the person to carry it on for her. But let me tell you about this thing that my dad did. If you've ever been to a meal with us, the Alexanders have a very simple blessing. My dad, for those of you that don't know, is a United Methodist minister. I am not going to sit here and speak about theology to you because I want to remind you, my dad is the minister. I'm the minister's son. We have very specific roles. If you're looking something from me, you're probably not looking for it from him, and vice versa. All right, so we understand each other. But I will tell you this. There's some crossover every now and then, and this is one of them. When we were a younger family living in, I think it was either Traveler's Rest or Florence. Maybe we had just moved to Florence. We would go out to dinner, and we would see families doing a blessing. And we wanted to do a blessing, but for some reason at that time, anytime we went somewhere, families were doing, like, it looked like 5-minute blessings. Now, I'm not making fun of anybody that likes to pray that long and likes to be an example where they go. That's fine. If that's your thing, that is. I'm just going to let you know it wasn't ours. My sister was very young. I was young, but my sister was very young. She wasn't going to sit there. And Dad, as smart as he is, one of the greatest things that my dad does, and I'm always, I'm always in awe of it when I see him do this, is my dad is one of the smartest people that I know. Some of you know that. Some of you kind of laugh at that. I mean, not that he's a joker or anything like that. I mean, he is a funny guy. But my dad was like, I think he was Beta Club president at Walford or something. And like my dad's a very, very intellectual guy. He's got his doctorate. He's his doctoral thesis in theology. I mean, he is a extremely smart guy, yet he is able to take the subject matter and relate it to everybody in the room. And that's essentially what my dad did with this. We wanted to say a prayer. We wanted to be able to say that give thanks, but we didn't want to do it in a way that would make anybody uncomfortable, anybody that would ever be with us. But we wanted to make sure that we were doing it. So my dad did this thing, and it was just genius. It was very simply, you look at the person to the left of you and you say, I'm thankful. Are you thankful? And that person says, I'm thankful. Are you thankful? And it passes around the table till it gets back to my dad, who says, I'm thankful. Amen. And then we eat. For the longest time, it was the easy way out of a blessing for me as a kid. I didn't have to sit through it. You know, when you're young and you don't want to sit there and have someone sit there and do the Baptist blessing that takes 5 minutes while your food's getting cold, I wanted something that was a little bit quicker. And then Hurricane Hugo hit. We lived in an area that was hit very hard. And I remember Hugo hit, it was the Thursday or Friday. I can't remember. It was so long ago. And then that Sunday, we still didn't have power. We were going to go a few more days without power and water. But we lived right behind the church that my dad was the preacher of. And we went over for church at 11 o'clock. And there weren't that many people in there. I mean, it was that my dad was a preacher at a very large church. But you're talking, I don't know, he's not here, but I would guess 30, 40, 50. He'd probably say, no, it was like 200. I don't know. But it's much smaller group than what it normally was. And my dad, excuse me, I'm still taking this medicine pretty hard. And my dad preached a sermon about what it is to be thankful. Like, we had lost so much, and we were sitting there in the middle of this just devastation from this hurricane coming and rocking this entire state. And we were living not that far from the coast, and we got it pretty bad. But there are people that had it a lot worse than we did. And my dad preached just one home run sermon in a building that had no electricity, that the room was lit only by candlelights. And this was in the Christmas Eve service. This was 11 o'clock on a Sunday. And my dad kind of stopped at the end of it, and he talked about that blessing. And he came down, and he looked at someone in the front pew and said, I'm thankful. Are you thankful? And they passed it around. From then on, that prayer is said every time we sit and eat. It is one that my daughter already knows. And she may not know the meaning that's come behind it, but I'll tell you that anytime we've gone through anything, whether it's been the loss of a relative, whether it's been the good times of the birth of the children that we have in this family, or when my my little niece last year was born 2-3 months early, and we watched this baby that was under 2 pounds make it into the gorgeous little child that she is today, getting ready to welcome in her brother or sister any day now. There are a lot of times that we would catch each other and we would look and say, I'm thankful. Are you thankful? I don't know where you are in your life, and I don't know what the holidays are for you. When I talk to somebody like Liz and I think about friends of ours like Kim, it's a shame that life is the way that it is. It moves very fast. There are people that are here today that will not be with you tomorrow, and you really don't know who that's going to be. And it's sad, but it's also beautiful at the same time. I'm amazed at Kim's strength as she went through what she must have ultimately known as her passing, but didn't let anybody know, even a guy like me that thought we were just going to meet for lunch again. There's some calmness in that and some peace that I am just thankful that I've seen. There are friends of mine that I wish were still here that aren't. And I'm thankful that I've known them. On the bright side, there are some friends that I'm glad are here. I'm going to go see one of my absolute best friends that I've ever had in the world on Thursday. His family has got to go to Atlanta. He's alone at home in Charlotte. He's a Panthers fan. I've got to drop my daughter off at lunch. And I don't have any plans for the rest of the afternoon, so I'm heading up to Charlotte, and I'm a Cowboys fan. And the two of us are going to get together and have us a great time. If you're in the Charlotte area and would like to watch football with me and Sean and escape your family, go right ahead and shoot me an email to localbarmail@gmail.com. Come out and meet us. I'm thankful for my friends like Sean and his wife Caroline that actually this was all her idea. I'm thankful for the people that put a smile on my face. I'm thankful for my daughter. Yes, I'm thankful for all that. And we can sit down and I can get lost in it. But really, I guess the thing for me is what I love the most is that when I get to talk with people like Liz, when I get to look at the joyous occasion that my sister and my brother-in-law are about to go through welcoming their second child, when I look at my gorgeous daughter and the fun that she is, when I look at my best friend, my girlfriend, a lot of the people that I have around me that I surround myself with, the people at the Cock and Bull, Smitty, all those folks, whether it's good or bad, I love the fact that I can sit down at this time of year and I can just basically say, I'm thankful. My question is, are you thankful? Well, the band is warming up.
Come on.
We appreciate you stopping by the bar again. If you want to be a part, you got something you want to throw at us, got somebody you think we should interview, want to be a part of the show, questions, comments, any of that, send them to localbarmail@gmail.com. Patreon/localbar is where you can support the show and throw something in the tip jar for us. Happy Thanksgiving week. I'm thankful. Are you thankful? We will see you next week. Y'all take care.